The Happy Father's Day. Today's message I titled The Perfect Father. But you know what? I'm not a perfect father. Far from it. And I dare to say that there's not a perfect father here today.
I don't even know him yet.
And I'm not hacking on anybody.
God, Jesus, that's the
only one. That's right, Rodney. But we make tons of mistakes. And we have to admit that there's only one perfect father. And that's the Father up above. And we're going to take today and we're going to use the example that God gives us in John 3:16 of what it is to be the perfect father. See, a lot of men turn to the secular experts trying to find out how to be a better father. And some of us look at those Christian experts about how to be a father. But I want to look at the one expert today, and that's God Himself. You know, this is one of the most familiar passages of the Bible. You can't hardly turn on a football game without seeing it in the audience somewhere out in the stands. But this scripture teaches us four ways that our Heavenly Father relates to us as fathers, as people. And the first thing of all is, of course, that a father loves his children. It says John 3:16, For God so loved the world. And here's a fact, fathers. From the moment our children are born, we love them. In fact, we love them before they're born. How many of you men have ever put your hand on your wife's stomach and felt the baby kick? That's love. That's loving your children. Now be honest, how many of you have talked to that baby while it's still in the womb? Yeah, that's love. You see, love starts at the moment we know that there's a child. God instills that in us. And the point is that before they're born, they haven't done anything to earn our love. Our love is just there. Because God puts it in our hearts. It's because they're yours. And you'll continue to love them forever because they're your child. They're your children. Even when they disappoint you, you still love them. They might make you angry at times, and you might want to disown them at times, but the love is still there. You always love them. I've never met a father who said, I don't love my children. Even the mean fathers love their children. Isn't that the truth? That we love our children. But here's the problem, dads. Sometimes we don't express it. I think it's something in men's genes that make it hard for us to say, I love you. Maybe I'm just talking about myself, but you know, from the men I know, I don't think so. Have you heard a man say, oh, my wife knows I love her? I told her back just before we got married, I love her, and that should stick. You know that attitude? Now, sometimes we have that same attitude with our children, but sometimes we never even tell them that first time how much we love them. Sometimes it's hard. You know, sometimes we just assume that our children know that we love them because we let them hang out in our house and eat our food and stuff. But they need a little more than that. Maybe we express our love for certain types of behavior. Now this one I can really identify with. You ever have that time when your child is really acting up? You know that time when, wow, I wonder whose kid this really is. It can't be my kid that's doing this. The truth is, it is your kid, and you can't trade them. They're your kid forever. You're going to love them forever. But I've had those moments. And you know, and then in those moments, we might express our love, but it has strings attached. Now, you know, little one, if you behave and start acting right, I'll take you to McDonald's and get you a Happy Meal. Well, we're teaching them there. We're teaching our love has conditions. But in a way, we're also teaching them, if you're bad, I'll take you to get a happy meal. That's a whole nother sermon. But see, we can't attach strings to the love that we give to our children. They'll grow up thinking that love is conditional on certain things. See, the little ones, our children, they can't read our feelings. They can only read our actions. We can assume they know that we love them, but we need to demonstrate that in our actions. And they can't hear what we're thinking, because I'm thinking, you know, I love you, but you better quit that. They can only hear the love in what we're saying. That's why it's so important for a father to express his love by what he says and by what he does. Our Heavenly Father expresses His love for us time and time again. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, He clothed them. He took care of them. Throughout the Scriptures, God affirms that love. Clear through the Old Testament, numerous Psalms, God's love is expressed to us. God tells us that He loves us, and then He demonstrates that love. He shows us that love. The ultimate act of love was sending His Son to die for our sins. But it was much more than that. Now maybe your father didn't know how to love or how to express his love for you. If so, you can be sure that he regrets it, because they're all loving fathers. But don't make the mistake of transferring that shortcoming to the Heavenly Father, because He never falls short. God loves us unconditionally, and He tells us so. And He backs up His words with action. And regardless of the relationship that you've had with your earthly father, you can have a personal heart-to-heart relationship with our spiritual Father. Unconditional love, because of who you are and because you are His. And that's what a father does. He loves his children. Dads, don't forget to show your children how much you love them. And don't forget to say the words, "I love you." It's important. It's important for them to hear. And the second thing is that a father gives to his children. John 3:16 again. "For God so loved the world that He gave." What did God give to us? Foremost, His Son. The greatest gift that could ever be given. But it's more than that. That's not the only gift He's given us. That song, "All Good Things," kind of demonstrates God's love for us. In a weak moment, you might say, "God, what have you done for me? Where are you, Lord?" But I'll tell you, if you look around, you'll see that He gave you everything. He gave us the sunshine, He gave us the rain, the warm weather, the cold weather. Everything that you own, that house that you live in, that vehicle that you drive, those guy toys that we get, God give us every one of those things. It's His possessions. He gave us the birds to sing. He gave us the trees. So if you're a father, there are two things that you have to give to your children. Number one is money, and number two is time. And both are important. And just because you have an abundance of one doesn't negate the reason or the need for the other. Your children need you for you to provide for them materially, and they also need for you to provide for them emotionally. There's a story about a single guy who was visiting his friend, and they were sitting in the living room, and the friend's little boy was playing on the living room floor. And the married man made an odd comment as they talked. He said, "Right there's the reason I don't have a fishing boat." And his friend kind of looked at him. He goes, "Yeah," he said, As soon as I get the hospital bills paid, it'll be time to pay for braces. And after those are paid off, it'll be time that he'll need a car. By the time I pay that car off, it'll be time for a college education. And by the time that's paid off, I'll be too old and I won't desire a boat any longer. What was he saying? Basically, he was saying sacrifices have to be made when you're a dad. There are things in life that we do because of obligation. There are things in life that, as parents, as fathers, we do without because there's a greater need, and that greater need's our children. And a lot of that depends on the attitude of your heart, the attitude of your head when you make those changes in your life. And it's out of love for your children. Now, our children may never fully understand the sacrifices that a father makes, or even a mother. And personally, I think that's how it should be. Child doesn't need to know what all you've given up. He doesn't need to think that you passed up on a fishing boat because of him. A father gives to his children. He gives of his time. He gives of his money. And both are essential. But we have to be careful, dads, that we maintain an adequate balance of money and time. Too much of either can ruin a relationship. You know, it'd be easier for myself, for dads in general, I think. It would be easier just to be the provider and let the mom be the nurturer. But that's not how God intended it. Our children need a father in their life. They need guidance from a man as well as a woman. That's not real popular to say today, but I feel pretty safe saying it in here. But I do say it outside these walls, and I know what's thought of. For some of us, you know, the fathers have passed on. For some of us, we don't have a relationship with our earthly fathers, at least not a relationship that some of us would like to have. But even if spending time with your father isn't an option, you can spend time with your heavenly father. You can speak with him. And while your earthly father may not be able to guide you, he can guide you. He's never busy. No matter what time of day or night, he's available for you to go to him in prayer. You can tell him about your troubles, your fears, your dreams, and your expectations of life. He's always available. He gives not only of the material possessions that we have, our Heavenly Father gives of his time. It's up to us to initiate that conversation. But you know, the third thing is that a father should have expectations for his children. In God's plan of salvation, he shows us what he does for us. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Do you ever stop and think about it? We have a role to play in our own salvation. God expects us to believe in him. He doesn't expect more than we can give, but he does expect us to do what we can. We don't have the capacity to be perfect. We don't have the capacity to pay the price for our sins, but we do have the capacity to believe in him and honor him and worship him. A good father has certain expectations of his children, certain requirements that have to be met. A good father isn't unreasonable about it. He doesn't demand more than his children can give, but he does require a certain level of responsibility. I think, in my own view, that's something that's lacking in this world today. There's too many children growing up in fatherless homes, in homes where the father may be there, but he's absent emotionally. There's no expectations placed upon the children to help them grow and understand that there are certain requirements in life that have to be met. No matter how hard we want to duck that fact, it's there. Certain things have to be done. John Grisham wrote a book called The Testament. It's a book about a man who succeeded in business far beyond what we can imagine. He amassed a fortune of $11 billion. Along the way, he married 3 times and had 7 children. He provided for all of them financially, but he was emotionally absent as a father. He never expected anything of his children. He gave each of his children a no-strings-attached gift of $5 million when they reached the age of 21. Each child squandered the money and eventually wound up deep in debt. These 7 children resented their father, and they eagerly waited for him to die to claim their part of the inheritance. This man saw his success in life, but as a father, he was a failure, and his children paid the price. Now, that's a fictional story, but it rings true. It's close to a story in the Bible that we find in 1 Samuel, a story about Eli. Eli was a man of God. He was a priest who served in the temple. Though Eli was faithful as a priest, he was a failure as a father. The sons of Eli had no respect for the law of God. They defiled sacrifices. They extorted from those who came to the temple. They slept with the women who served in the temple. And Eli knew about their behavior, but did nothing about it. And as a result, God judged Eli. You see, fathers, we have a responsibility to set standards for our children. A father must say, this is the way we live, and nothing else is acceptable. It's a father's responsibility to lead by example. You know, this will only take us so far. A child, when they reach a certain age, will make up their own minds and they'll explore different things. But a father's attitude must be, do as I do, not just do as I say. We must be that example in our homes of a godly household. A child has free will, and a child may bring disappointment in your life. But as long as we accept our responsibilities, as long as we're that example in our household, we'll lead them down the path that God has laid before them. And if they do stray away, they may come back because of your example. And we continue to love them because they're our children, right? That never goes away. Joshua set the example. He set the bar high. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That should be an example for each of us today, dads. A father should expect his children to act like they belong to him, to mirror his attitudes and his beliefs. A father shouldn't demand more than they can give, and we shouldn't base our love on their behavior or the path that they choose in life. The love needs to be there to maintain that relationship, to continually guide them and lead them. And just as our Heavenly Father has expectations for us, we should have expectations for our children. And finally, a father prepares his child for the future. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God created a wonderful future for us. He is offering us eternal life. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to spend a minute without Him. He wants us to live in His presence forever. And He has provided a way to make that happen. He did this by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. His blood covered our sins, and we were forgiven. When we put our faith in Jesus, we have that direct connection to God. You know, it's not about Christians reaching out to God. It's about God reaching out to His children through Jesus Christ. And we need to focus on that this morning, that God the Father, the Holy Father, is reaching out to us in the best way that He knew how. A perfect example. See, God has a vision for our future, and that's an eternity with Him. In the same way, earthly fathers, we need to do what we can do to direct the future of our children. They lay as a responsibility on us to guide and to nurture. I'm saying this cautiously because we all know fathers who try to live vicariously through their children. Sports, work, lifestyles. We have to be careful we don't become those helicopter parents that hover above our children and don't allow them to grow. Don't allow them to scrape their knees and get back up. But fathers, we have a responsibility to direct. We need to prepare our children for the future. And there's three ways that we have to do this. First, we have to help our children prepare spiritually by bringing up in a Christian atmosphere. We have to encourage our children to be involved in church, in service to the Lord. We have to challenge them to grow in that personal relationship in whatever manner that is. And the second thing, a father needs to help prepare their children for their future career. We need to help them identify their gifts and their skills, their talents, their interests, and shape that and mold it and help them move forward. Help them discover the career that's best for them. And by the way, just off to the side here, being a wife and a stay-at-home mom is a career. It's an honorable career and a hard career. So don't listen to what the world says today that if you don't have a job outside the workplace or outside the home, you're a failure, because you're not. You have the greatest career that God ever invented. A father should encourage his children to pursue their dreams. He needs to prepare them for the challenges that they'll meet. He should give them his total support as they enter life as an adult. You know, dads, we can't do that if we're not listening to our children, if we're not spending time with them. And I'm not talking about time sitting on the couch watching a TV program. I'm talking about time spent listening to them and talking to them, figuring out what's driving them forward, what's caught their interest, watching them in their activities. You'll see what strikes that spark in their life by watching what they do. And the third thing is, a father also has to help his children in their relationships. You know, Dad, we have a responsibility to teach our children the type of people that they have as friends. We can't turn a blind eye because we're afraid we might upset our children. You know, dads, we have to help guide our daughters as they look for that man they want to spend the rest of their life with. And the same thing with our sons. We need to help them without specific direction from a Christian father. They're going to allow the world to guide them in their choices. This is a lot of responsibility. And I also believe this creates a lot of rebellion in children. It's not easy to do. But we have to be part of our children's lives. We have to be that lighthouse that shows them direction. And that makes it all the more important, fathers, to say those three words, I love you. And help them to understand that maybe as a dad, our choices for them, maybe they're not so happy about them. But they have to understand that we love them and we're guiding them. Our Heavenly Father prepared a future for us in heaven. And earthly fathers have to help their children prepare for their future in this world. You guys, I've been thinking about the responsibilities of being a father. You know, I look back so many years ago when Jenny was born. And I was so without a clue. I mean, I knew how to change a diaper once Robin showed me. But the rest of it, I kind of had to learn on my own. Looking around. And then it dawned on me. You know, as my daughter grew up, I went from looking to the secular world for instruction. And after I got over my bullheadedness, I started looking to the spiritual for the guidance that God gave me. And I can only say, man, I wish I had known that sooner. I want to offer you to you today the guidance of the best father in the world. And that's God Himself. His word is all written down for us in the Bible. And all we have to do is take the time to look at it. Take the time to share it with our children. Don't be fooled into thinking that throwing money at your child will help him in life, because it won't. But believe he needs your emotion, he needs your time, and he needs your love. Dads, I want to ask you this morning to take a moment. This is Father's Day. And as your kids express that to you, however it is, take the time to tell them that you love them. Let's all stand together. God gave us a perfect blueprint for what it is to be a father. He gave us the examples. He's shown us the love. He provides for our material needs. But He knows when enough is enough. And sometimes we need correction. Fathers, you'll never be perfect, not as long as you're here on this earth. But you can believe and you can move forward in the Word of Christ. So bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the fathers that are here today and for that wonderful example of what it is to love and to supply the needs of your children. And Father, I just pray that that love will be expressed by every dad here. That their families will be blessed because they are the head of the family. And Father, I just ask that for Melody, as she had to go home, that you will comfort her and she can feel your presence. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.